Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Owen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Let us start with Jumanji.
Jumanji
the dose.
The next level.
Yes.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Do you not consider Zathura in with the Jumanji movies?
I never thought about it. I really like Zathura.
Well, it's from the author of the book Jumanji.
That.
And it is it's the sequel that he wrote to Jumanji. It just, the game is called Zathura. Because, like, when I referenced it, and again, I don't ever run this by, because I just assume everyone is inside my head and thinks precisely like I do. Because I referenced it to the kids, and I said, oh, right, well, it's the fourth Jumanji movie. And then, like, they just stared at me like, what was the...
I just didn't think of it in terms of that.
But, I mean, there's a filmed sequel. Yeah. Like, it's... Yeah. And it's actually Jon Favreau.
Zathura, we could talk for at least an hour easily about it. But it's a movie a lot of people aren't aware of, it's a good movie.
Did not make the money that the Robin Williams starring Jumanji did, or, like, even a fraction of what the Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart... Jumanjis have, but I honestly consider it part of that. Like, if you're gonna have, like, let's say they do like a 4K like Blu-ray pack, I would think that needs to go in there. Like, it,
and so that has what to do with this?
It doesn't.
Okay.
But you just wanted to talk about rabbit hole.
Okay.
How often do we fall into them on this podcast? So why are you even asking me?
I thought maybe there was a reference or something.
No, we're talking about Jumanji.
We're talking about Jumanji,
it's Jumanji related.
And the author, whose name I can't recall, what two great names. I mean, much like Google, a name that essentially meant nothing, Zathura and Jumanji, pronounceable, fun, memorable, came up not with just one, but two.
Really solid sounding names for board games.
Yes. And Jumanji, Next Level. Now, we are recording this the Sunday before Christmas. It has made $213 million worldwide, so kind of a hit.
Yeah, I don't think this thing is going to have any trouble. Like, maybe it doesn't overtake the original, but, like, I can't see this movie not doing, like, huge business this Christmas.
So, it is the sequel to the first one. And the first one, you know, the kids did the game, they come back, they're all in high school together, and What's-His-Face gets to go home, and the house isn't wrecked, and all that stuff. Got that. And so, here, who are the characters in relation to them, or are they not, that Danny DeVito and,
Danny Glover
play? Who are they?
Well, okay, In this one, you still have your avatars, as they were. Jack Black.
Yes, that. I get that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are the same characters.
I'm talking the real life part.
But now, the kids...
The real life.
All of the kids are not playing the same avatars.
Correct. But who are they? Before we get to avatars, how are they... Who are they?
Danny DeVito is Dwayne Johnson.
No, that's not the question I'm asking you.
Then I'm just obviously confused.
Let's not talk about the game Jumanji. In the story of this movie, you've got the kids.
Okay.
So who are Danny Glover and...
in relationship to the kids.
Yes, who
not
are
to the,
they?
Oh, okay. They are... Danny DeVito is the boy that was Dwayne Johnson in the first one. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Danny DeVito is his grandfather.
Okay.
And
Danny Glover.
Why do I keep forgetting?
I don't know, because, like, can there be two Dannys on the same? There can be two Dannys in the same movie.
Mm. He is an old, like, work partner of Danny DeVito's.
Okay.
And
so he's,
like,
just a buddy.
Yeah, and, like, the two of them have been estranged for a number of years, and he's come to the house kind of wanting to make amends with his friends, and then
Jumanji. They find the game.
Well,
okay.
Yeah. They're kind of swooped up.
So they
into
find
it.
The game, and the kids go, oh, and they figure out that they're in the game.
And, like, Danny DeVito, let me tell you, is brilliant. And, like, he's hysterical. My only issue is that, like, he is not an avatar in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the very limited, like, compared to, like, say, Jack Black or, like, Kevin Hart, the amount of screen time that he's given, like, it's all gold. All of it is gold. Like, my daughter was watching it with me, and she's just like, he's the funniest thing in this movie, Dad.
He's hilarious.
Like, and I forget that because he's been working for, you know, 60 years. Like, but, like, he owns every bit of it. And when you're in a movie with Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart and Jack Black, like, scene stealing is basically what those guys, like, just try to do. I'm telling you, like, the main issue, and when I say issue with the movie, I'm not, it's not like it's broken, is that you do not get to see more of Danny DeVito in this movie because he owns every inch of the movie that he is in.
That's delightful. So, without ruining anything, I know, of course, then they have to go into the game to get them.
Right.
So, seeing as they're already two of the existing avatars, then there are new avatars.
You do have a couple of new ones, yeah.
And so that works. And, so I can only assume, this is a huge leap, that this can easily make a Jumanji 3.
I don't like to give away too much, but the end of the film does so in a way that one could easily extrapolate that into a third Jumanji.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm not, I don't want to say any more than that because we don't, that's not the game we play here.
But again, though, it's already made $213 million. It would seem to me.
Before they finished the script for this, I guarantee you Sony was already thinking,
yes,
what could we do for Jumanji 3?
Well, let's think about this.
Yeah, they're like, what property do we have that we don't have to have Marvel to make so that we can make money with it? Like, what franchise can we not run into the ground?
Or what can we turn into a franchise? Yeah, that's the ticket. So, Jumanji, is it PG-13 or just PG?
I think it's PG. It's PG-13.
Yes, it is. And I'm going to tell you this. I was...
All right, fair enough.
I'm going to tell you this. So, I was at a luncheon with an associate who is... Well, she looks way older than me, I'll be honest. I don't know how old she is. Looks can be deceiving. And she was... aghast, she was appalled that her teenager and other teenaged friends saw this movie. And so I was under the impression that they got there under their own speed, so they're 16 plus, and it had the S word in it. And well, they don't use that word, and they don't watch movies with that word in it. And as she's saying this, I'm thinking, so you wouldn't have shown a 9-year-old Die Hard then? I didn't bring that up, but I was like, huh.
As you're saying that to me, like, I'm trying to think of all the movies, like the movies that I love, like just genuinely, like Back to the Future, Ghostbusters.
They don't watch. And all I could think of was I could not engage in conversation because it would have taken hours and there would have been a lot of angst on my part.
I mean, I'm not saying you just need to go around screaming that but...
And I'm fine with that. They do what they want to do. That's fine. You do you. That's what I thought. It's like, what movies do you watch then?
Because, I mean, like, okay, Back to the Future,
Ghostbusters. I guess you don't watch any prior.
And Die Hard. Like, those are three really good movies.
There's a lot of S word there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, you're listening to maybe you're listening to Pooh. I don't know.
That's our other podcast.
Listening to Pooh. Who bother? You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Hill, I'm talking with Adam Cravens about movies in the theater. We're going to try to keep this next one under 2 hours. The Rise of Skywalker. As we're going in, my youngest says, "Hey, Mom, how long have we been waiting to see this one?" And I said, "We've been waiting since 1977. What? We've. Earlier today, I spoke with someone who had never seen Star Wars and had said these words to me. Well, we're watching them in order as it was intended. And I said, when you say in order, what order do you speak of? Even though she started with The Phantom Menace, she is now a fan, and her idea was to watch them all the way through and go in the theater to see Rise of Skywalker. So, she didn't start with 4. She didn't talk to me first. I said, next time you're doing some... And she goes, and we need to watch Solo. I said, you do, but it's not going to have anything to do with these 9 movies. And just trust me on that.
I'm honestly not even sure what I would I know the order that I watched them in.
Yes, but like, I watched 4 through 9, obviously.
I don't even know like I'd be like, this is the order. Now that there are 9 of them, this is how you should watch them.
The first 3, not at all. Or maybe the last half hour of the 3rd one.
Or let me just edit together a good, like, let's say 2 hour, hour 45 minute. There is positive things in the prequels. Let me edit that together into like a sizzle reel and just be like, this is all you need to know from the prequels.
Yeah, let's, I'm okay with that.
Let's not waste 6 hours, okay? Here's an hour and 45 minutes. This is all you need to know.
I just know that whole business with someone gets blown up and then there's Leia's mom and it's like the whole, the first 45 minutes, it's like, oh, that's her. I don't know who this person is and who's that person and they're kabukied and I don't know who they are. Then there was that. Anyway, I digress. So, Rise of Skywalker hit. It's made $176 million in the U.S. alone, $374 million globally. The B word will be coming up soon.
When you start your... An inferior film, like The Last Jedi was, still made it to $1 billion.
Yeah.
Again, there's positive things in that movie.
Yes.
But there's a lot of it I would have just been like, no, why?
Unfortunately, what sticks out to me in the last one, which again, there were parts of it that I was fine with. It's this that one image of Princess Leia, like flying with that one arm out. And I don't even remember what she was doing, but it's almost like... It's almost like
Mary Poppins.
No, the animation from the Monty Python TV show, you know, and she's like,
well,
so it was just so odd.
I think the problem with this, and even like the beginning of Rise of Skywalker almost seems to be like it's coming out of a different second film in the trilogy than we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does that make sense? Like, it almost feels like I'm not bearing the lead right now because it's in all the previews. Palpatine is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It really seems like if he was going to be like the villain of the trilogy, like they had set out to do, feels like they would have mentioned that in part 2 or part 1 or laid some groundwork. But I mean, it really just feels like, and they're like, and Palpatine, and I'm like, wait, would you?
One of those things like, oh. Oh, I'll just make them brother and sister. I changed my mind. I'm making them brother and sister.
I feel like J.J. Abrams should have been the one to do all of them. I think The Force Awakens, like, teed up perfectly for this trip. Like, you had...
Absolutely.
With Luke on, like, on that mountain, like, having that, that shot, like, end it, like, you... I'm just saying, like, Force Awakens was not the weak link. Like, it's the, I believe, the highest domestic earner of all. It's $936 million.
Someone think that's a weak link?
No. Well, I'm just pointing out. And then, like, you give the film, the second film in the trilogy, to a very different director who does a lot of things and almost seems to just drop all these threads that were perfectly laid in the first film. Like, and I'm not saying Rian Johnson is a bad director, because Looper and Knives Out are proof positive that this man knows how to write and does know how to direct. But I feel like there should have been a uniform vision or at least some kind of skeletal structure that this trilogy saying, okay, this is where we begin, this is where we end. Mm-hmm. You do what you want to, like, but this is where you have to end up at the end of it. I don't feel like that happened with it. I really feel like JJ just wrote that first one and he's like, all right, guys, I left some balls dangling in the air. Like, wait, just knock it out of the park, okay? And then he's like, I don't want to do any of that. But but I have Luke Skywalker.
That's true.
Like, I don't feel like JJ Abrams would have made the second film that ended up getting made. But then they basically just came in and just been like, hey, we should have hired you for the second movie. Can you we need something to please the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like they overcompensated, so like they over course corrected.
Mm-hmm.
I almost felt like with this movie.
So I think, let's say 40 years from now, someone just stumbles upon Rise of Skywalker it's probably not going to stand out to them as much because they maybe didn't know that Carrie Fisher died. And I think even though you and I notice it, maybe other people don't notice it as much.
40 years removed from it,
you might not. And I think I'm glad they did what they did, and I think they did it the right way. However, because I'm me, I see footage, stand-in,
Yes.
But that's how...
But that's the way I saw it,
I see it.
And there would be a
lot
of...
But I did think it was lovely.
People were extrapolating and saying things to her so Carrie Fisher could just say, yes.
Yes.
Because that's the footage that they had of her. She couldn't be... They'd just be like, do you mean General Leia that we need to do this, this, and this? And then you just see her go, yes, that's what we need to do. And I'm just like, well, why didn't General Leia say that? Like, and
yes,
because she couldn't. I get it.
I do prefer that they did that instead of digitally creating her, unless she like had just one more line to do. And you know,
I will say this, and that probably like complicated it. The original stars like Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo. Obviously, each of them got to be like the linchpin in their respective film. Like Han Solo is obviously the one that they're concentrating on in Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Hamill gets a huge amount of screen time in Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
I think they intended for Carrie Fisher to have a similar limelight in this one. But unfortunately, before the film could be made, she had passed. But they were, which I'm sure... like created just a ton of issues, like narratively for them whenever they did that, because it really feels like they were teeing up for something for Princess Leia. And then when it came time to do that movie, they're like, oh, well, we have is this leftover footage of Leia. We've got to do something though, obviously.
Now, what I think is the backbone to this is the love story between Poe and Finn.
I'm going to tell you, like, there's a lot of disparate elements that I didn't feel like worked in the movie. Like, I was just like, I don't like that.
Oh, by the way, Adam and I both liked the movie. Liked the movie.
I don't know that I loved it, but I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've already seen it twice. Mm-hmm. Like, if that tells you how much, like, I didn't dislike it at the very least. Poe and Finn.
Yes.
I almost feel like there needs to be... I'm not saying there needs to be a Poe and Finn trilogy.
No.
But if you were to make a movie where Poe and Finn just did adventures, or maybe you went to Disney Plus, or whatever. I'm just saying the banter between the two of them...
I loved that.
Like, it was one of the standouts of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of that is them improvising.
I don't
know how much of it is, like, Chris Terrio... and Jim Abrams' script, like, I don't know which one it is. But I'm just saying, like, it's definitely one of the best parts of the movie.
Truly, it is. And which just made the very ending without giving anything away. But, of course, they see each other at the end. And Jenna and I are doing running commentary to each other, much in the way of some of our favorite YouTube shows are. Because at the very end, I started making remarks, and you see them looking for each other in the crowd. And so then I say to Jenna, that's the real love story. And she goes, bromance all the way. And I go, oh, did not expect Nose Woman to be kissing another woman. I don't want to call her Nose Woman, but it's just...
I don't know what her name is.
I don't know what her name is.
Which is funny, because like I know that like Nine Nub is like... that's Lando Calrissian's Chewbacca. Like,
yeah.
Or I know all of these really weird side characters. And my kids, who know that I know like all of these weird side characters... Like,
I'm going to have to look it up. Because I don't mean to say this in a disparaging manner regarding the nose with which the woman was born with, but it is remarkable in size.
It's a distinguished
nose. Yeah, I mean, if there were five blonde 50-year-old women in a row and you wanted to describe her, she'd go, oh, it's the one with the nose that you notice more than the others, okay? So she...
Yeah.
But I don't... If she was in the other movies, I didn't pick up on that.
They're probably not going to have Nose Lady on her toy whenever they release the figurine.
And I loved the way that Carrie Fisher's daughter got to be in some scenes with her.
Yeah.
I thought that was lovely. And I don't think this will give anything away, but from the very first of this trilogy, it was Kylo Ren is like a young Snape, isn't he? And in my mind, a similar resolution in character.
Adam Driver is one of the best. Like, okay, you and I were talking about, like, the prequels still have positive elements to it. Ewan McGregor is easily one of the best parts. And if Qui-Gon Jinn or Liam Neeson had been allowed to be in more than the first film, I guarantee you I'd be saying the same thing about him. Adam Driver consistently put in just performances that I never felt like he really got. And again, when you're in a movie that costs $300 million, the character that I think they wanted Hayden Christensen to play in the prequel trilogy, like this really kind of just untethered, like rage-filled character, I really felt like you finally got in Ben Solo or Kylo Ren, however you want to to name him. I feel like that was the Anakin maybe George Lucas had in his head in when he wrote the script, but he was not a capable enough director to get that performance out of Hayden Christensen, or Hayden Christensen was not able to give that. I felt Anakin always came off as just whiny and kind of pedantic.
Yes, but then again, Luke in A New Hope came across the same way. So I thought maybe it was an homage. Or not.
I'm just saying, but by the third film, I should not have just been
enough already.
He whined about it. Like, there was a fear to Kylo. Like, whenever he got angry, and like there's a scene in, I think it's Force Awakens, where he basically just tears apart a computer room. And he's throwing a fit. Like, Anakin did similar things in the prequel trilogy. But, like, he threw a cup and it went off a wall. And I'm just like, you, listen, hush. Hush, little boy.
Yeah.
But, like, in this one, Adam Driver's there's menace to it.
Yes.
And when he finally gets the steering wheel in Last Jedi, when he strikes down Snoke, the film's 2 years old at this point, so I don't feel like I'm ruining anything.
And in the Titanic, the ship sinks.
When he finally becomes Supreme Leader in the second one, like, Hux is kind of scared because he should be. Like, Vader was this very, like, measured, like, tonally, like, Vader did stuff to people, but, like, I don't know that anybody ever really thought Darth Vader was crazy. When Kylo Ren gets to take over the First Order, I guarantee you there's people just like, oh, man. We should start putting resumes in somewhere else.
Now, through the beginning, Jenna and I. By the way, we don't talk loudly. We will whisper if it's really, really good. And at one point, she whispered to me, "I can't decide who is hotter, Poe or Kylo Ren." And we continued this conversation. We're still talking about it. And then Jim pipes up and he goes, "Well, Adam Driver is just not very, you know, good looking and." Who plays Poe? I don't remember.
Oscar Isaac.
Yes. And, like, he is more classically handsome.
He's got the chin, like the jaw. Yeah.
And I agree completely. And yet, when they're filming Adam Driver's Kylo Ren, just frontal cape a-blowing, and it says his man presence is just walking, and there's something electrifying.
It's his... He has presence. Like, he has a gravitas. Like,
And it's smoking hot.
Well, and I obviously, I almost want to say we were watching different movies. But a
13-year-old girl picked up on that.
Right.
So.
But I don't have the sensibilities of a 13-year-old girl. I'm saying
case could be made.
I also clued in on this smoldering intensity.
Yes,
but
he smolders.
It obviously affected me in a different way.
He smolders.
Than it did the two of you. Mm-hmm. But, like, his intensity is palpable in the movie.
Which is just plain interesting regarding film anyway. There are plenty of scenes where some character is, like, just walking toward the camera for whatever reason. But in this movie, it is electrifying and it is memorable to watch him just walk up. It's like, yeah!
There, And on the flip side of that spectrum, this is normally the kind of performance like I would kind of lampoon, but considering the place that the character has in the franchise, I'm talking Palpatine. It's Ian McDiarmid, I believe is the actor's name. I mean, I think they told him to play it at 11, and he goes,
"Yeah,
oh no, I don't listen, guys. I didn't know if I told you this, but mine goes to 20."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, we'll turn it up." This normally, like, you and I were complimenting Hans Gruber just because of the delightful subtlety. Like, when he shoots a man while he's eating a sandwich.
There's no subtlety in
that. Oh, there is not, at no point. It's just always like, I am the Emperor!
he is the guy tying someone up in front of the train and twiddling his mustache, like, whoa!
But considering that he is the embodiment of evil in the Star Wars universe and has been for virtually all nine, even the films that he is not in his presence is felt in them. I really don't think, like, I mean, at one point...
Do we know how he got that way?
How he went... Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Or he's like, just introduced and we go, oh, it's that guy and he's the emperor. And it's like, okay.
I mean, I think
I'm sure there's a backstory. I just didn't stick with me. I don't care that much.
Well, I mean, there is like in some of like the alternative comic, but I don't think that's not what the question you wanted me to answer for 45 minutes. I know. I'm certain of it.
Yeah.
Because I do that sometimes, and then I look in people's eyes, and I'm like, they don't want to know this. I need to stop. Wrap it up, Wikipedia.
But there's no, like, quick, this happened, and he turned bad. He's just existed in this world as evil.
He is not Magneto in the X-Men movies. Mm-hmm. Like, he thinks what he is doing is correct. Palpatine does not have that. Palpatine is just a sinister, evil man. He walks around when no one else is there in a black robe with it pulled over like his eye. This man just always looks sinister.
And apparently someone married him.
That was also my... Like, I'm not going to go into the rest of it, but like some of his lineage, like, is discussed in this film. And I'm just like, wait.
So I want to know who that was.
Who hooked up with Palpatine? Did he have this life like right before he joined the Senate in episode one where he's like, yes, and you will make me biscuits and evil gravy.
Evil
gravy. And she's like, what have I done? My mother was right. My mother told me about you. My mother said that I did not need to marry you. He's like,
So, yeah, try not to think about who married Palpatine, because that has bothered me immensely.
I'll tell you a theory about it. Don't want to share it. No.
Tell me later.
It's dark. Yeah.
All right. So, trying to think about that. Now that we've said it, forget that we said it. But remember it. Because it was awesome of us. And then try not to notice how the scenes were built around Carrie Fisher, but appreciate them because it was lovely. And love the bromance between Finn and Poe. Because that and Adam Driver, and Rey is great and all. I have no problem with that, but I'm just saying the highlights.
Daisy Ridley did.
Yes.
But,
yes.
I mean, she's not.
And that running scene that you see in the trailer was just as awesome as it was.
Basically, the kind of the duel between her and a TIE fighter.
Yes, that was awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this movie has some just absolute blockbuster set pieces. Like, J.J. Abrams really is, like, made to do this kind of film. Like, there is some iconography in this film. Not all of it works. Like, but... In the same way that, like, I can when I mention Empire Strikes Back and you think about Luke standing off on the ledge whenever, like, Vader reveal, like, you have those kind of moments visually that just stick with you and you're like, holy cow, like, this is.
Before I forget, because it was minor, the way they ended things with Lando, it was like, boom, chicka, wow, wow. It was like, that's perfect.
I know for reasons that it can't happen. I really want Donald Glover and Billy Dee Williams to somehow interact as Landos, like, because they're both so fantastic. Like, in the same way that I didn't think they could recast like Ian McKellen in mm-hmm. the X-Men movies, and they got James McAvoy, and I'm like, holy cow, this guy's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just...
It would be fun.
You have two actors playing the same character to the hilt. Like, easily one of the best things about Solo was Lando Calrissian.
Yes, very much so.
And I've never had any complaint about Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian, like,
or Colt 45, because he loved it.
He obviously,
yeah.
There, it's, so that it's was been super, documented. Yes.
Super fun.
Yes.
And I had one concern at the end of the movie when they start showing different planets, and I thought, if I know JJ, he is not going to go to Jar Jar's homeland, and he did not.
No. No, but they're, they're.
But he could have. He could have.
Well, I mean, you almost got that ending already whenever they did the special edition of Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. You did get that. Like, it shows up on Naboo, like Tatooine. Like, basically the. And here's the weird. And I know that.
We are jumping around so much.
I know that. I've said that I did enjoy this movie. But in so much as J.J. Abrams, like, took. Like, very, very just bags and buckets and dump trucks worth of narrative elements mm-hmm. from A New Hope when he made Force Awakens,
mm-hmm.
I'm definitely going to put out here that somebody watched Return of the Jedi
yes.
before they watched this movie. Like,
he did miss an opportunity that I was muttering under my breath. There's a scene on Tatooine, and I'm going, kick the dirt. Kick the dirt! Dirt was not kicked.
Well, that we know of. Like, we haven't watched the deleted scenes.
That's right. It was like, I thought, would that have been too much? Would that have been delightful? I don't know, but...
I think that was one of the issues I did have with the movie. Like... What does this film do? In what way does it wrap it up that Return of the Jedi really had not... Like, Palpatine was... It looked like he was dead in Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
You bring him back to... There's a definitive conclusion to this. I'm not going to tell you exactly what happens, but I'm just saying, like, everything wraps up nicely mm-hmm. in this in a satisfying way. But... Didn't it already do that? Like, I mean, the Skywalker line, for all intents and purposes, like, you had the redemption of Anakin Skywalker, mm-hmm. who had began his journey, and I'm just saying, like, you gave us the grandkids, like, you know, in with Kylo, like, you bring back all these characters that already really had kind of closed their loop, like Han, Luke, Leia. What did this film trilogy do
mm-hmm.
that the Star Wars films had not already done and concluded pretty satisfyingly in Return of the Jedi?
It gave me Poe and Finn, and I could just have more of that. I want more of that.
Not dumping and saying that there's nothing good about, like, as much as I complain about Last Jedi, the lightsaber duel in the throne room.
Mm-hmm.
Right when Kylo Ren kills Snoke,
mm-hmm.
that scene right there, I will put next to Darth Maul dueling mm-hmm. Obi-Wan Kenobi and Qui-Gon Jinn. Like that was when we're talking about iconography,
mm-hmm.
moments in those films that I will stand next to. You know,
and yet,
Luke, I am your father. Any of that scene right there,
mm-hmm.
and that chemistry between We haven't. Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver.
Oh, spectacular.
Holy,
together.
Throughout, yes. Like, in this film in particular, like, they landed, but like, they planted a lot of those seeds in Last mm-hmm. Jedi. And like I said, that throne room scene in Last Jedi, as much as, like, I get mad about a lot of other junk in that movie, that throne room scene, like I said, I can.
That was awesome.
I can watch that just on a loop. Like, just a fantastic piece of cinema.
I have to throw one more thing in. Toward the end of the film, where the two of them are speaking to someone else, I thought of the end of, and why am I forgetting the name? Lady Hawk. I thought of the end of Lady Hawk. Look at each other. Look at me. Look at each other. The curses. I'm just saying. I got that vibe. I'm just now you see it, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we did enjoy it, and it's not the best Star Wars movie ever, but it has enough really great elements that any Star Wars fan, I think, is going to enjoy it.
I mean, not unlike, okay, Revenge of the Sith. not a perfect film, but ultimately a film that I enjoyed and I have revisited.
Mm-hmm.
I would put this at least on par with the way I felt about Revenge of the Sith. I don't think it tops Empire Strikes Back mm-hmm. or A New Hope. I don't even think it's the best of this trilogy. But I say all that to say, like, if you're a Star Wars fan, you will find something that that touches you as a fan of these films.
Yes.
And even if not, there's a lot of fun to be had in this movie, even if you're just a casual film goer and somehow have avoided Star Wars entirely, which I'm not even – that confuses me. That's another podcast right there.
I know. I was actually surrounded by people, and I said, so I guess none of you want to talk about Star Wars. And they all said, I can't even say the words. Anyway, sad. So, yes, two movies to see, Jumanji, the whatever it's called.
Jumanji, Next Level.
Next Level. Yeah. I was going to say Final Impact. I don't know why.
That's
not a movie.
Not even close.
Jumanji and the latest Star Wars movie. And there are many. We've done great not telling you stuff about Star Wars. There are enough surprises in this that after about 3 or 4 weeks, those surprises are going to be revealed because time has passed. And so if you have even a mild interest, just go and be surprised.
And honestly, narratively, it plays better if mm-hmm. you don't. You're going to guess stuff. And,
yes.
And I can't go into movies without guessing like 90% of it correct. But occasionally, it is nice to just go, mm-hmm. oh, well, I didn't see that coming.
Right. And there were one or two things that surprised
that
me.
I had not.
Right before it happened, I went, they're not going to. They did.
Or, so, oh my goodness, I didn't know they were going to be here.
Yes. So there are enough surprises that you should go. So thank you for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. Next week, anything?
I'm not going to see Cats.
Oh, please.
Even if you suggest, please. If you go with me, I might consider it. But like, I
might
oh
have
my goodness.
To.
Like,
it does look awful, doesn't
like,
it?
I've watched the pre. I'm like, maybe I was just in the wrong mindset when I. No, I was not.
No.
Like, or I'm in that mindset constantly and I can't get out of it. But like, this film just looks. It looks like a parody preview. Like, if somebody was going to. Like, when Saturday Night Live would do like the intercalaries mm-hmm. and they'd just be like, if you saw the. It looks. Like it is a parody preview for a movie that isn't really going to be released, but it is, and all of those people are in it, and it's in theaters, and my logic receptors are just, they're burning out. Like,
yes,
just smoke is coming out of there, like, ugh.
Yes. Anything else? I don't even know what this, I've seen everything that really spoke to me, by everything I meant Star Wars. Jumanji's next, but for me.
I have literally seen every film that is in the theater.
So Christmas week, Christmas is Wednesday, right?
There's only one film playing in our theater that I have not seen.
I guess my question is anything going to open? Sometimes they open. There's something opening on Christmas or the day after Christmas.
There's one that it's doing a limited release on the 25th and then open, I think, 1917 maybe?
Yes, that was it.
Is that? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, 1917.
Which does not look hysterical.
It doesn't look hysterical.
Very, very.
And I don't often get to say this, and it doesn't come up much, but my grandfather fought in World War I. There you go.
And it'd be relevant to what we're saying on the podcast.
Yes, he did not fight in the Clone Wars, though. But
no.
1917, I have a picture of him from 1917 with his buddies, and they looked, dare I say, jaunty. Jaunty.
Okay, jaunty.
They looked jaunty. I don't think what they went through was jaunty, but they looked jaunty in the photo.
I mean, that's something.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, so that is that. Thanks for listening. May the Force be with you. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.